Everyone able to hear?
Malati Mataji, you can hear?
Sri Rupa Goswami Pada Ki. Sri Rupa Goswami Pada Ki. Sri Rupa Prabhupada Ki. Dai Go Premanandi. I think this is a dream come true for Srila Prabhupada. He used to sit here in this room and gaze across the window to the courtyard of Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami's Bhajan Kutir and Samadhi of Rupa Goswami. And he was planning his mission of Krishna consciousness throughout the world. At that time, practically hardly any Westerners knew of Vrindavan, not to speak of came here. But I think today you're seeing thousands of people from all different parts of the world, and India also, glorifying Sri Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami. Srila Prabhupada was actually the person who fully manifested the teachings of Rupa Goswami and Rupa Goswami. When everybody else is wondering how ever the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be carried to the Western countries, Srila Prabhupada actually did it. He incorporated specifically the principles of Yukta Vairagya that Rupa Goswami enunciated. And he got the Western world dancing and chanting to Maha Mantra, fulfilling the desires of all the Acharyas in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he lived very humbly in these small rooms, the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Damodar. So I think it's a very glorious day, very happy day for Srila Prabhupada to see the courtyard full of smiling faces from all around the world. Also a very auspicious time we are here. Can I take some of this? In the month of Kartik, the month of Damodar, it's just as gone as the Purushottam month, the Purushottam Adhika month, which is, thank you. Which is very much glorified as the best of all months. And many statements that by observing the Purushottam month you can actually go back to Godhead, you can go back to the abode of Krishna Goloka by performing some austerities and penances. But in some of those statements it says that you can go back to Radha and Krishna, but in a place where they are married, So it's a kind of a majestic realm of Goloka. But this month of Kartik is actually more special than Purushottam month, because this is Radharani's month. Kartik is also another name for Srimati Radharani. So by worshipping Radha Damodara in this month, one can actually get pure love of Godhead and go back to the pure abode of Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj, who performs wonderful leelas, especially the leela where observing this month of Damodara, how Krishna was bound with the rope by Mother Yashoda. So the deities here are called Radha Damodar. And people are often asking, why Radha Damodar? Mother Yashoda was the one who bound Krishna. So often the question is arisen, why is Radha Damodar? But this reason for this, why we call Radha Damodar, was revealed by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada to one of his disciples. And he told the story concerning Krishna's binding, Mother Yashoda's binding Krishna. And as she was binding Krishna, she gathered all the robes in the house. She lived in a goshala. You can imagine how many robes were there. And all the coward men had the robes over their shoulders. And not only that, the neighbors were also bringing robes to help. He wanted to let her tie him. But at that time, actually, all the robes were exhausted. The whole place was empty of robes. So just at that time, Srimati Radharani appeared on the scene, small girl, and she was seeing the fun with all the other coward ladies. They're all astonished what was happening, tying so many ropes. Every rope was tied as still. Everybody was astonished to see this. So then that small girl, Srimati Radharani, she had a string in her hair, a bun, that tied up the back of her hair in the bun. She took that out and she gave it to Mother Yashoda. And Mother Yashoda tied it to the end, and suddenly she could bind Damodar. Sisi Radha Damodar ki. So by the grace of the Acharyas, we have the understanding of Radha Damodar. Sisi Radha Damodar ki. Sri Rupa Goswami Pada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai go premanandi. Thank you very much.
Om Gyanatamanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Milakamyena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Offer my respectful obeisances and all my spiritual masters who opened my eyes with a torch of knowledge when I was in the darkness of ignorance. I'm Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutana Shmati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanaya Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharya Nirvishesha Srinivani Paschachade Shatarini. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare
Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Krishna Krishna!
Hare
Hare!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Rama Rama!
Rama
Hare Hare!
Hare Hare!
Thank you all very much. I'm going to do something a little selfish here. I'm going to ask for everybody's blessings. Because if I can get the blessings of the assembled Vaishnavas, kindly do whatever I can to help anybody. It's so nice, actually, to see all the devotees here. It's amazing, actually. We have the past acharyas. We have all the future acharyas out here in the audience. Those of you will do great things in the future to push on Prabhupada's movement. Things are even in the beginning right now. It's amazing to see what's going on. Sometimes people take a look at the things that they see around them and they find a cause for becoming morose or somehow disheartened. But actually very wonderful things are happening. I was thinking actually today that one of the major themes of a parikram is purification. We're all getting purified in different ways. We were hearing this morning about Kaliagat and Keshigat, two demons were killed, and how those demons were actually a part of our own mentality in a certain kind of way. They're actually a part of our desire to become either proud and well recognized, or on the other hand, to be very envious and want to drag others down. So one time, a long, long, long time ago, I was listening to a devotee give a lecture. And I was just a young devotee at that time. He said that sometimes when we first come to Krishna consciousness, we're so covered with so many things from our past, our karma. We don't really understand much of what's going on. We just kind of go through the motions and we're kind of experiencing a whole new world. And we're trying to awaken some sentiment for Krishna. But later on, when we get further on in devotional life, we at some point come face to face with our deep, real anartas. You know, we may not even be aware that they're there. And then at some point we get purified enough to see where we really are. And at that point, it can get pretty scary. Of course, Krishna is there in any condition, whether we find a Keshi demon or a Kaliya serpent in our heart, whichever it happens to be. For me, it's, I think, a huge quantity of both. Any rate, Krishna can help us to overcome whatever we find there. And sometimes it's amazing how you turn the corner and Krishna consciousness kind of opens up into another level. You begin to be aware of things you never thought you thought, things that you never felt that you felt, but you actually do feel and you actually do think them. You catch yourself in the side look of your own eye doing things you really aren't so pleased about. But even in spite of all those things, Krishna is pulling us forward. We've got Srila Prabhupada, we've got each other, we've got the temples, we've got parikrams like this. It's actually a very happy kind of purification. I mean, there's so many different kinds of purification when you think about it. The whole material world is a type of purifying environment. Of course, some of the kinds of purification aren't so fun. We have all kinds of various sufferings in the material world. But here, I was just meditating on it today, everything is purifying. The water, the dust, the history, the geography, the plants, the animals, the people, each of us in our own way, the devotees that have been here for a long time, the devotees that are visiting, the music, the foods, the way people act, the culture. When you think about it, everything is purifying. Whereas in some places, you really have to be advanced to be able to appreciate the purifying aspect of everything. Of course, Krishna's in everything, in every atom, and those who are very advanced can see that. But in a place like the Holy Dham, we're able to actually appreciate more deeply the purification that's there in everything. And so sometimes Krishna opens up our eyes and we get a chance to bathe in the Yamuna, relieve cores of sinful activities that who knows how many lifetimes we've been building up. we get a chance to hear the holy name. And we may actually come to realize, I've been meditating on verse Jahi Asuram Bhavamam Tumatmanam Sama Mano Datsva Mano Sama Mano Datsva Nashantar Vidvisham Rite Jitadat Mano Utpatesti Tat Taddihi Anantasya Mahat Samarchanam. This was what was said actually by Prahlad Maharaj to his father, Hiranyakashipu. And it's something that I think about a lot. But in fact, we only have one enemy. And unfortunately, that enemy is in our own heart. So Prahlad is telling Hiranyakashipu that he should, not worry about any other enemies. You know, he's telling his father that give up this demoniac mentality of considering friends and enemies. Give it up. Actually, besides the mind, there is no other enemy. Besides our own mind, there is no other enemy. And someone who makes himself equal in mind to everyone, such a person, actually worships Anantasya Mahat Samarchana. That kind of mentality is actually a very high worship of the Supreme Lord, to see everyone equally and to give up the concept of friend and enemy. Because generally we are looking at ourselves from those people who help us in our own self-image, those who help us in our own achieving our material aspirations. I'll talk from my own point of view, because I know that I'm in a much more inferior position, but I'll talk from that position. So when I think that way, when I think that, you know, people are helping me in that way, then they become my friend. When I think that people are somehow hindering me in that way, then they become my enemies. Not a very favorable attitude. Not a very good attitude. So actually, to be in the Dham gives us a chance to take a bath in so many ways. A bath in the holy name, a bath in the dust of Vrindavan, a bath in the kirtan of the devotees. We get a chance to taste the prasad. We get a chance to hear something from devotees who have really wonderful realizations. And doing that helps us to go forward into the future, to shake off some of the dust and junk from the inside of our heart that's been there for so long, shake it off, and get the mercy of the past acharyas. Here we have Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada, where Prabhupada sat, where Prabhupada was meditating upon coming to the United States. He didn't know what he would find there. It's amazing how destiny works. We don't know what's going on behind the next corner. Just like walking down these streets of Vrindavan, you turn the corner, you don't know what you'll see there. A temple, you know, some people selling things, some monkeys. Who knows? So destiny is like that. We don't know what we'll find behind the next corner. But Krishna's helping us. He's purifying us. He really is our best friend. I'm trying to preach to myself more and more to have that trust, the deep down inside. He really is our best friend. And he's purifying ourselves, us in the best way we could possibly be purified. In the best way, really. We may understand it, we may not understand it. Most of the time, at least from my point of view, I don't. I don't have a clue what he's doing or why he's doing it. But somehow or another, I'm stumbling forward in Krishna's lot of arrangements. And they're wonderful arrangements. Sometimes I ask him to do whatever it'll take to purify me, and, you know, it's kind of like holding a loaded revolver to your head. But when I try to have that mood, that whatever it is that it takes to purify me, let me somehow surrender to it, then I find there's a kind of an ease there, a happiness there. Of course, one thing you can always know, when you ask Krishna to do whatever it takes to purify you, you know he's going to do that anyways. So might as well invite it be a little bold and kind of jump forward, because it's going to happen anyway. So somehow or other, if we can try to get a little faith, associate with those people who have faith, associate with those people who have knowledge, those people who have some kind of enthusiasm and devotional life, then it may just rub off. Who knows? We may find ourselves participating in a nice way in the unfoldment of ISKCON, in the unfoldment of the future, how the whole world takes to Krishna consciousness in a big way. This is destined to happen. How soon? Who can know? What role we'll play in it? Maybe we know, maybe we don't know. Maybe it's clear, maybe it isn't clear. At any rate, we're all somehow or another bound like Damodar with ropes to one another, stumbling forward. Some of us are pulling and some of us are holding back. I'm on the end with the brakes and others are in the forward with the engine pulling forward. But somewhere we're in there. And the more I go on, I'm convinced that I was a great impersonalist in the past, because I don't relate to people well. I'm a recluse by nature, but somehow or other, I've been thrust into the society of devotees, and I'm trying to learn how to cope with it. I'm trying to learn how to appreciate and actually take advantage of it in many ways. So I'm trying to make some inroads in that way. And it's very wonderful. It's a rare treasure, a rare treat, a great fortune, a wonderful benediction to be here with you all and get your association. So I'll end again asking for all your blessings. May you somehow or another find it in your heart to offer some prayers for me so that I can go forward and also somehow or another take part in this movement. And if I've offended anyone out there, I ask forgiveness at this point in time. And thank you all very much. This is already starting off as a very ecstatic, blissful parikram. So I won't tie up any more airtime here. I'll end with that comment. Thank you again. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to the past acharyas. All glories to Bhaktisiddhanta Swami, Rupa Goswami. All glories to all the devotees of various kinds, because actually Krishna is working in so many ways, even through other religions, even through whatever. Krishna is pulling everyone back home, back to Godhead. So I'm trying to learn to appreciate and trying to learn to make use of what's been laid at my feet by so many people who have given their lives and sweated so that I could be where I am, so I could see what I saw, so I could hear what I've heard. So thank you all again. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Timirandasya Jananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jenatasmoy Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanyamano Pishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakatamayam Dadati Swapadam Tikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutabhata Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Shah Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tham Sajivam Shadvaitam Savadutam Varijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Scha Vamsha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindubya Evacha Patithanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama 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 Sri Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, while living in Ramkeli, had wealth like the king of heaven, Indra, were learned like Brihaspati, the guru of the devatas. They had great power and influence, being the chief ministers of the government. They were young, they were beautiful. They had everything material. But they were frustrated because they understood very clearly that they were wasting this valuable human life. The purpose of life is simply to give pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. They understood by their divine consciousness that Lord Sri Krishna had descended in the form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was living in Jagannath Puri. They wrote him letters again and again, begging him to rescue them from the clutches of illusion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally led a kirtan of millions upon millions of people to Ramkeli. There he met Sri Rupa and Sanatana. It was at night. They came incognito, in disguise. They fell at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with such humility. They consider themselves to be more fallen than Jagayan Madhai, to be sinful, to be the most fallen persons in all of creation. And Prabhupada explained, they weren't just saying this, they felt it from the core of their hearts. They surrendered at the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga. And he told them to go to Vrindavan. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went back to Puri, he told his devotees that I have met this Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis. They are the perfect candidates to establish this mission of pure bhakti in the world. He glorified their qualities of humility, surrender, and devotion. Srila Rupa Goswami practically immediately left all of his government services and gave away his wealth. He went to Prayag en route to Vrindavan, and there he met Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At the Dasashwamedha Ghat, Lord Chaitanya instructed Sri Rupa Goswami for 10 days. The Lord embraced Srila Rupa Goswami. Upon embracing him, he impregnated within Rupa Goswami's heart the capacity to fully understand and realize everything the Lord was to speak. He gave an essence, the science of pure devotional service, culminating in the transcendental pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. And then he ordered Rupa Goswami, you go to Vrindavan. What I have taught you, you search in the scriptures, you establish the ultimate truth of pure devotional service, and expand what I have taught you in such a way to establish the principles of pure devotional service throughout the world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Rupa Goswami again in Jagannath Puri. And there at the Siddha Bakula tree, where Haridas Thakur resided, he brought the senior most of his associates to examine the content of the writings and the realizations of Rupa Goswami. Such great personalities as Srila Ramananda Rai, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Nityananda Prabhu, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Srila Haridas Thakur, they unanimously accepted that Rupa Goswami, in order to write what he is writing, in order to be what he is, it is only possible because you have impregnated him with your supreme causeless mercy. There is that famous story where Rupa Goswami wrote a verse on a palm leaf, a commentary to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beautiful prayer to Lord Jagannath in the Ratha Yatra. Lord Chaitanya read it, and he himself was amazed. How, he asked Swarup Damodar Goswami, has Rupa Goswami understood the very essence of my heart? Swarup Damodar Goswami said, I could tell you have bestowed your unlimited causeless mercy upon him. Therefore it is possible. And Lord Gauranga said, yes, that is true. When I saw his humility, his detachment, and his complete surrender at Prayag, I impregnated the bhakti of my heart into his. All the great acharyas unanimously agreed that Rupa Goswami was the acharya to establish Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission through literary work and through his example in Vrindavan. So he is our Sampradaya Acharya. In the spiritual world, he is Sri Rupa Manjari, intimate, confidential associate of Sri Lalita Sakhi, eternally engaged in the most pleasing services to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And the entire Gaudiya Sampradaya is striving to ultimately purify ourselves to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Rupa Manjari in the spiritual world. What is Sri Rupa Goswami's position in our lives? It is supremely worshipable. It was here where we are sitting this evening, where Sri Rupa Goswami was residing while living in Vrindavan. This was his bhajan kutir. At that time, this was all a forest. It's called Sevakunj. Sri Rupa Goswami would write his literatures and give lectures every day. The other Goswamis and Brijabasis would come here to hear Sri Rupa Goswami speak. Here he did his bhajan. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains the type of bhajan of the six Goswamis. They chanted at least 1 to 2 lakhs of names every day. They would sleep hardly an hour and a half at the most. They would go out and beg for some dry roti and sometimes some fried chickpeas as madhukari. They would only wear the cloth that was so old that it was discarded by the ordinary people and make it into a simple wrapper of a babaji. Paramhamsa. They had no fixed residence. They would sleep under different trees every night, constantly absorbed in chanting the holy names with tears of love in their eyes, meeting every day, whenever possible, to discuss the wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna and ways of inaugurating Mahaprabhu's movement throughout the world. they were constantly absorbed in thinking of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in the core of their hearts, in great ecstasy. This is how they lived. No one can live like this. If anyone tries, they will die. Their bhakti was of such extreme degree that the material existence simply did not exist in their lives. This is how they lived in Vrindavan. He Radhe Brajate Vakeja Lalite He Nanda Shunokata. Roaming from grove to grove, from kunja to kunja, searching for the loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. When Sri Rupa Goswami departed from this world, Sri Jiva Goswami and the other great Vaishnavas laid his body here, the holy samadhi of Sri Rupa Goswami. Srila Jiva Goswami, who then became the Acharya of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, built his Radha Damodar temple in this place. The deity of Damodar was personally carved by the hand of Sri Rupa Goswami, personally worshipped by him, and then offered in love to his nephew and disciple, Srila Jiva Goswami. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he came to Vrindavan, and made a vow that he would prepare himself in this holiest of all holy places to serve the mission of his Guru Maharaj. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur instructed him on several occasions that he should take the message of Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the whole world. That was the desire of the Lord himself. Srila Prabhupada in the year 1959 came here to Sri Radha Damodar Temple. Just to our right, where that window is, was Srila Prabhupada's personal kitchen. He would lovingly cook with his own hands, offer the bhoga to Sri Radha Damodar, his Guru Maharaj. He would look out this window and see the bhajan kutir and the samadhi mandir of Rupa Goswami every day. Just across that courtyard was Srila Prabhupada's bhajan kutir, where he wrote his translation and commentaries to the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as Back to Godhead and other literatures. It was here that he was contemplating, praying, and preparing for this monumental historical offering of compassion to all living beings. Every day Srila Prabhupada would circumambulate this courtyard. Every day he would offer his dandavat pranams at the samadhi mandir of Sri Rupa Goswami, praying for his mercy. For 6 years, 1965, Srila Prabhupada took the blessings of Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and left for the Western world. Just yesterday, one of our very dear God brothers, Brahmananda Prabhu, was showing me something I never saw before. It's there, but I just never took note of it. Incredible. I was astonished to see it. I still can't get over it. Would you like to hear what it is? Do you know any less from me? It's a newspaper article. Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay. He was a beggar. He begged Sumati Murarji of the Scindia Steamship Company to give him a free passage on a cargo ship to America. Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay. He was a beggar. He begged Sumati Murarji of the Scindia Steamship Company to give him a free passage on a cargo ship to America. She didn't want to do it. She resisted. You're too old. It's impossible what you're saying you want to do. Just preach to us. We're happy. We'll take care of you, Swamiji. But he went. The ship did not leave from Bombay. It left from Calcutta. When he was in Calcutta, he didn't really even have anybody to stay with. He stayed with somebody from Lucknow that he happened to meet when he was there. His son came. When he was boarding the Jaladuta, there were only three or four people to see him off. One was his son, Vrindavan Chandra Day. I asked him, what did you think when you saw your father walking up the steps of that cargo ship, going to a foreign land with no money, not knowing anyone? He said, I was proud of my father. Before he went, while in Calcutta, it appears that he contacted various newspapers to tell them about his mission of going abroad. And one very, very small newspaper carried an article with a photograph. It happened to be his passport photo. It's the only photo he had. And what this article said was incredible. It was obviously either written by Srila Prabhupada or dictated by Srila Prabhupada. But the article said that A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, who is carrier of the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is departing on the Scindia cargo ship to New York City in America. It said that Swamiji has translated the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. There are so many people in America waiting. They have already heard of him and they're waiting for him to come because they're so eager to hear from him. And everything was being arranged. From the material point of view, nothing in that article hardly was true. At that time. But actually, it was a prophecy. Srila Prabhupada went to America, and he knew he would be a success. And then we read a conversation of Srila Prabhupada, where he is speaking to his disciple many years later. He said, actually, I have no qualifications. He said, I have so many God brothers who are very, very learned and very, very advanced. He said, I only have one thing. I had complete faith in the order of my spiritual master. And that is the very essence of my success. Whatever I have been able to do is exclusively based on my exclusive faith in the power of my spiritual master's order. Such faith. Yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tata guru. One who has implicit faith in Guru and Krishna, all knowledge is revealed. Srila Prabhupada had complete faith, not only in the order of his spiritual master, but what that order represented. It represented the very life of Sri Rupa Goswami. To give to the world pure devotional service. The prophecy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda that the holy name of Krishna will be in every town and village on the surface of the earth. Srila Prabhupada in 1967 came back to Vrindavan with one disciple. He showed him his little rooms. Now the rooms have been renovated. Then they were just very, very, very simple. But Srila Prabhupada, he said, now I'm at these big temples all over the world. He said, but my heart is always longing to be back in these little rooms in Radha Damodar in Vrindavan. But he said, but for me to go back there would be sense gratification. Can you imagine? He was 80 years old at a certain point, and he was still traveling all around the world constantly, dealing with so many problems, staying up all night long, translating and making commentaries for his books, preaching vigorously. He said, for me to go back there would be sense gratification because my Guru Maharaj wants me to preach this message. In 1965, in his diary, this is before he had any following whatsoever. He didn't even have anybody interested in Krishna consciousness at that time. He had just come to New York. He was living in the Bowery, a ghetto. He wrote, today is Gaur Purnima, the appearance day of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And my God brothers and God sisters, they are all in Navadvip Dham or Vrindavan Dham, worshipping the deity, having wonderful festivals, wonderful katha, wonderful kirtan. But I am all alone in this foreign land. There is not a single devotee within 10,000 miles. But I am in bliss. I am happy because this is the order of my spiritual master. This was the content of Srila Prabhupada's faith. In 1972, Srila Prabhupada brought a group of devotees from all over the world to sit right where Jnanivas Prabhu is sitting right now, to give a one-month series of lectures on the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion. At that time, Srila Prabhupada explained, Vrindavan is the spiritual world, the ultimate planet of the spiritual world. And this Vrindavan on earth is non-different. And Radha Damodar Temple is the place where Sri Rupa Goswami would preach, would write, and where his body was ultimately laid to rest. This is the place that all the Goswamis would come together to take prasad, to exchange intimate love, to have kirtan, harikatha. Srila Prabhupada explained that this courtyard in Radha Damodar Temple was the center of the spiritual world. And as far as these two rooms, Srila Prabhupada told his disciples, that I eternally live in these rooms in Radha Damodar Temple. With very, very grateful hearts, we should fall in the dust of this holy place, praying for the mercy of Sri Rupa Goswami, praying for the mercy of Sri Jiva Goswami, and praying for the mercy of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who delivered the complete essence of all the previous acharyas in the simplest, most practical way to us and to the whole world. Behind you is the Samadhi Mandir of Bhugarbha Goswami, a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit, dear associate of Lokanath Goswami. Well, he and Lokanath Goswami were the first people to come here to Sri Vrindavan on the order of Lord Chaitanya. He is Premanjari in the spiritual world of Goloka. In the Parikram route, there is several samadhis. There is the samadhi of Sri Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami made this his headquarters. Why? Because his Guru Maharaj, Rupa Goswami, did his bhajan here. It was here that Jiva Goswami wrote over hundreds of thousands of slokas, establishing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said he was the greatest philosopher that ever lived in the history of the world. It is here that he personally trained Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shyamananda Goswami. Near the Samadhi of Jiva Goswami is the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And there is also Pushpa Samadhi of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our beloved Param Guru. Radha Damodar Temple indeed is the center of the spiritual world. And it is our very, very great fortune to be here today. And according to how grateful our hearts really are for the fortune we were receiving, we will truly benefit. This evening, not only we're fortunate to be here, but among such illustrious servants of Srila Prabhupada as Jananivas Prabhu, His Holiness Chandrasekhar Maharaj, Nartaki Mataji, and there is a special celebrated personality who was personally present as Srila Prabhupada's assistant and cook at the time of the Nectar of Devotion classes for that month in 1972 here at Radha Damodar Temple. We would like to request Her Grace Malati Devi Mataji to share some of her memories of this very, very historical occasion in our society's history. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. To offer my respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of the assembled Vaishnavas, and in particular His Holiness Srila Radhanath Swami. Actually, my being here is more like and all these little ants were seeing crawling all over. I'm just like, you're like one of these little ants that was crawling all over. During 1972, it was more or less the first time we all came together with Srila Prabhupada for an organized event. Actually, when we would first toured India with Srila Prabhupada, the last place we came to was Vrindavan. It wasn't until 9 months that after being in India that any of us or anyone at all from our group came to Vrindavan. And that was on the order of Srila Prabhupada. Two devotees were sent here to look at some land. Otherwise, we were simply carrying on with our project of doing Sankirtan programs, Pandal programs in various cities. And here and there, Srila Prabhupada would drop us off, saying, you stay here and start a temple, you stay here and start a temple. So we weren't at all privileged, or obviously we were ineligible to come to Vrindavan. And we only came when Srila Prabhupada himself invited us all here. My participation in 1972 was less at Radhadamodar, but more at Keshigat, because we arrived and a few people, his servants, would stay with Srila Prabhupada here. But the rest of us, the larger congregation of devotees, were given the facility at Keshigat. And when I first arrived, I went in, because we heard it was a palace. But when we went inside, we saw that it was a palace of bats and their droppings, and quite dusty from lack of use. And nobody seemed to know what to do, but I could understand the place needed to be clean, so myself and my small daughter was with me, and some other devotees, we started to clean out the rooms so when the other devotees arrived it wouldn't be so shocking. And we managed to do that. And then I realized that there needed to be some prasadam for the devotees, so somehow that became part of my service, doing cooking at Keshigat for the devotees. Jamuna, Gurudasham, Sundar, Prajumna, Hayagriva, they were staying here with Srila Prabhupada. And initially Prabhupada was staying in the downstairs rooms, but due to some change in the weather, he decided to go upstairs. Upstairs, Jamuna and Gurudas were actually living in the room on this side. There were two rooms, I think, one and one, so they were living in one. And he just came up and told them he was moving upstairs. So in one instant they rearranged themselves. And slowly by slowly the devotees were coming into Vrindavan. And most of you probably have heard some of the stories that happened during that time. Such as the time we were attacked at Keshigat by some enthusiastic Brijbasis who wanted to... I had the impression they wanted to kill us, actually. They were a little upset because of the behavior of one Western devotee. He had acted kind of impetuously. He saw a person beating a cow, and he was astounded to see that here in Vrindavan. So he kind of attacked the person who was beating the cow. But this wasn't too well looked upon by the local inhabitants. So later on that day, I was basically myself, my daughter, and the Chuchananda Swami, and one or two other persons. We were getting the prasadam ready at Keshigat. And suddenly there was very loud noise, the angry loud noises. And although the doors were closed, the big wooden gates, there was pounding on these doors. And the pounding was getting more and more intense, and then we can understand that there was some kind of an big object being used to ram the doors. And I became pretty convinced that we were going to die, so I went upstairs and I started putting tealock, but I already had tealock on, but I was putting it on again, but like quite large. And I was putting it on my daughter quite large because I thought whatever happens to our bodies, but maybe we'll have some mercy. And I looked out over and I saw they had like a huge pole, like a huge telephone pole banging the door, and it was a very angry crowd of people. We didn't know at that point why they were angry. But there was a lot of controversy because this was the first time there was a large group of Western people coming here. So then I started thinking maybe we should try to have some kind of counter this situation. And I went back downstairs and we had a meeting. We decided what we would do, we would open the door and just let them come in, because they were going to come in anyway. The door wasn't going to like last forever. And we had the pots of prasadam ready, and we decided we would just let them come in and we would start giving them prasadam. And we were hoping they would accept it. On the other side of the gate, unbeknownst to us, some local army men had come by, and they saw what was going on. And whether they liked us or not, or even knew who we were, they understood that this was a riot, and they felt it was their duty to try to cool the riot down. And so then that broke up some of their energy, because then they were, not only were they intent on getting at us, they were going to argue with the army people, so that split, you know, divided their energy a little bit. In the meantime, we opened the door, and they just rushed in. And we were standing behind the pots with our ladles ready to serve out. And, I mean, prasadam is miraculous because it completely disarmed them. They suddenly just came ready for prasadam. And I saw later one photo, and all you could see were these hands, and they had cups. And you'd see our hands with the ladles. You could just barely see our heads. And then you saw one little tiny hand. It was my daughter, because she was also there. She was serving. And you could just see this little tiny hand with, you know, putting in the prasadam. So I had a very strong impression of how powerful prasadam really was during that moment. Srila Prabhupada would sit in these rooms prior to coming to America, and he told myself and Jamuna that he would look out the window and he would pray to Jiva Goswami to make him fit to carry on this mission. You know, I mean, such an astounding prayer. Srila Prabhupada, who could be more fit? But this was his prayer to Rupa Goswami, make me fit to carry out this mission. When we were sitting here for the discourses, it was quite different. And I was realizing about where that camera is there actually was another tree at that time. Where we're sitting here, there was a bunch of scaffolding. So Prabhupada was a little bit past this tulsi. And we didn't have any fancy vyasa sign or any, you know, particularly special, wonderful arrangement. It was very simple. And the courtyard itself was wonderful because it wasn't all this marble on it. It was just dirt, but very nice dirt that was just trampled for the last few centuries by the lotus feet of the pilgrims. So even when it was very hot, now when it's hot, you can't put your feet on the marble because it will burn them. And when it's cold, it's freezing. But when there's dirt, it's just natural. And so it will welcome the feet under any condition. So due to the scaffolding, there was some kind of renovation going on. Here and there, there would be some types of, you know, construction equipment. But basically, we were sitting there. So all in the same area you were all sitting, Prabhupada was also sitting. And I always came a little late due to my services at Keshigat. And my mind was really scattered. I was usually thinking about sabjis and the price of the sabjis and how many chapatis I would have to make and would I have enough flour. I mean, I'm sorry that I wasn't thinking of more lofty subjects. And because I wasn't thinking of more higher subjects, I wasn't hearing that much either, unfortunately. But I would come in through that gate and I would be a little late, so I would just sit there. And on the first night, when the lights, just like we experienced a little earlier, lights were always going off. So the lights went off and Srila Prabhupada was about to walk back to his room, so he couldn't see so well. And there was all these planks and poles for the construction. And no one else really noticed that Prabhupada didn't have a clear path, but I saw it because of where I was sitting, so I just jumped up and I extended my arm. And he took my arm and I walked him over to the doorway. So I was very grateful that he allowed me that service, so that almost every night if the lights went off, I made sure I was there. So somehow or other he could use my useless arm. And there's one photo that shows Srila Prabhupada in front of Jiva Goswami's, on the other side, in front of his samadhi. And Shamsundar is there, and myself and my daughter are also there. And on that day, all the devotees had gone somewhere. It was like a little break day. But I never went anywhere because I was just thinking about the subjis and all that stuff. Anyway, I came over here, and Prabhupada was in his rooms. And then he took Shamsundar and myself and Saraswati, and there was just maybe two or three other devotees. And he took us on a little tour of the samadhi area. And he showed us his Guru Maharaj's Pushpa Samadhi. He showed us Krishnadas Kaviraj's Sadat Samadhi. And then he started speaking. And that's where the picture is, about Jiva Goswami's samadhi. And he was telling us about the library that Jiva Goswami had originally kept here and that it had contained all the Vaishnava literature. And I remember him saying something to the effect that we should try to recover and preserve the books of the Goswamis. So my realization from all of this, I told you in the beginning, I felt like one of those little ants. They crawl all over everyone and they just simply cause a little sensation of disturbance. So that is also my position, and I beg your forgiveness and thank you very much for allowing me to speak about Srila Prabhupada.
Story of the monkeys.
Which one?
The monkeys.
Yeah, that was with Jumuni. He talked to some monkeys and he also talked to some little insects. But I can't talk to monkeys. It's actually Jumuni should tell this story. I'll have to bring her next year. Jumuni actually lived here and served Srila Prabhupada. She was personally serving him here in the kitchen cooking. But she came one day, she came in and Prabhupada was talking to somebody. So she was trying to see who was there, but maybe someone was out in the courtyard, but there was only a monkey. But actually Prabhupada was conversing with the monkey and she was astounded. But what really astounded her, that Prabhupada didn't even act as if it was unusual. It was expected. But then I was thinking, well, one of the symptoms of Krishna is that he's a wonderful linguist. And therefore, Prabhupada is Krishna's intimate associate. Why shouldn't he be a wonderful linguist? He was also speaking to some little insects. This was very intimate. Actually, there's a lot of interesting insect stories, how he would be so careful about them and not want us to harm the insects. And today when we were at Madan Mohan's, there was a lot of ants who were leaving their bodies because there were so many of us and there were so many of them and we were all on the same road. And it was not too many places that we could put our feet where these creatures weren't, you know. So I was trying to imagine, you know, what their fate was, and I was trying to imagine what my fate was for contributing to their fate. But Srila Prabhupada, one time, and different servants have had the same experience. There would be little ants on his desk, and he would have them carefully brush them off and relocate them. He was very kind to all of us.
We have two basic alternatives of how to spend the duration of the evening. One is we can go through, what time do the temples close? About 8:30. We could divide into different groups and go to Radha Raman temple, Radha Gokulananda temple, Radha Gopinath temple, then all meet at Radha Govinda temple. And the other is, Aindra Prabhu said he was going to lead Damodar Astakam and Kirtan tonight especially for us, and he was hoping we would come, but I told him we may or may not come. So what would you like to do? Dance and chant at Krishna Balaram temple or go to Radha Raman? We'll take a vote. You can say Haribo and raise your arms. First vote. Visit Sri Radha Govindaji temple, Radha Raman, Radha Gokulananda, and Radha Raman. Who would like to do that? Please say Haribo. No, it went till 9:15 last night. Who wants to return to Krishna Balaram temple for kirtan? It's a very close vote, shouldn't we? Perhaps we should have recount. So we will try to go to Radha Raman, Radha Gokulananda, Radha Gopinath, and Radha Govinda another time. At this time we will have Harinam Sankirtan procession. We should all chant and dance very nicely, as Prabhupada would say. Actually, when Prabhupada was here in 1971, about 30 devotees was with him. Malati Mataji was one. And he would send the devotees out every afternoon to do Harinam Sankirtan throughout the streets of Vrindavan. He considered it very important. In the morning?
No.
I thought it was in the afternoon. We went on parikrams in the morning.
I know, because I would have to go be buying the subjects.
Good job. So for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada, let us have very enthusiastic kirtan. We'll have kirtan to Govindaji temple. There we will go in buses, and the buses will directly take us to Sri Krishna Balaram Mandir. And we will send an advanced party
to immediately go to Krishna Malaram's mandir to tell Indra Prabhu that we are on our way. Straight back, not Govindaji temple. So there's no buses. So we should just all, we'll just have Harinam Sankirtan, and wherever you see a rickshaw, just get on the rickshaw. And ultimately we'll all meet at Krishna Balaram temple. First of all, Hari Hari Hari. Everyone, please, with great humility, reverence, and devotion, place your head in the dust of this most holy place. And pray with all the power of your hearts for the shelter of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sri Radha Damodar. And following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, pray at their lotus feet that we could be empowered to assist our beloved Srila Prabhupada in his glorious mission throughout our lives, and if it be his desire, for all eternity. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.